Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Bibles this morning to a couple of places, John chapter 14 and Matthew chapter 11. John 14 and Matthew 11. In the video clip we saw, we realized that the Grinch's life was transformed as his heart was enlarged. And we've been talking about wanting God to enlarge our hearts this Christmas season. Our theme verse has been Psalm 119, verse 32, where it says, "I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart." You shall enlarge my heart. As our hearts grow in God's grace, in His love, in His perfection, in His patience, in His goodness and kindness, then we will be able to run the course that He has established for us. We'll be better able to obey Him. This morning, we want to focus on the last element of a peaceful heart. We want to talk about developing a peaceful heart. How many of you know that we live in a very unsettling time? Our federal government is on the brink of a fiscal cliff where the government's going to shut down unless they can come to a compromise by midnight of tomorrow night. Many families themselves are experiencing financial hardship. Just a couple weeks ago, our food pantry, we had this whole half of the sanctuary taken down and food boxes set up. We ministered to 147 families. And it was a powerful time. I wasn't here, but I understand. Several of you came, you helped, you attended, you ministered. People were prayed with. The gospel was shared. Kids were ministered to. It was just a powerful time of ministry. And I want to say thank you so much. We received a card just this week from someone who said, "Thank you so much for making Christmas extra special for my family." There are a lot of people out there that have a lot of uneasiness and worry and anxiety because of the tough financial times we live in. Some people are going through family hardships, health issues. There are many things that bring unrest and uneasiness to us. And this morning, we want to talk about the importance of having a peaceful heart. What would you say is the opposite of peace? Talk to me here. I hear war, I heard turmoil, worry, arguing, anxiety. All of these things come from a heart that's not at peace. When we do not have a peaceful heart, we don't realize how it prevents us from running the course of God's commandments. Worrying can keep us from obeying God. Did you realize that? When we worry, it can keep us from obeying God. We're worried about how we're going to pay our income tax. So we lie on our tax return and we sin. Or we're afraid of what people will think of us if we take a stand for Christ at work or at school. So we laugh at the dirty jokes or we go along with the crowd doing what they're doing instead of following God and having a pure, holy life. Worry not only prevents us from obeying God, but worry can clutter our minds. It makes us double-minded. I don't know if there's ever been a time when you've had a problem that has just consumed you and you've had to work on a project. Maybe you've had to balance your checkbook or do your tax return or something at work that required you to focus, but you find your mind straying and that is just hard to concentrate. How many have ever been there, done that? Many of us have. Worry clutters our mind and it keeps us from moving forward and being productive in life. It makes us miserable. It steals our joy. It can zap our emotional and physical energy. I know some people who have worry, they just want to lay in bed all day long and not get out of bed because they don't have the strength and stamina to face another day. Worry can wreak havoc on our health. It can cause ulcers and a lot of other physical maladies. Worry can keep us from our God-given destiny. The children of Israel, God said, "I want you to go on the promised land," and they worried about the giants. And their worry about the giants kept us from going into the promised land and experiencing what God wanted them to have. And that can take place in our own lives. God has a destiny for you, and because of fear, because of worry, because of anxiety, we don't go after the course that God has laid before us. But when we have a heart of peace, it enlarges our heart. We obey God. We go after His destiny. It restores the life. It restores the peace. It enables us to minister to other people. It gives us energy and health and strength. Having a peaceful heart is crucial to living a godly, Christ-honoring life. The problem is we sometimes look for peace in all the wrong places. I want to share with you four really quick. These aren't in your notes, but if you want to write them down, we tend to look for peace in having more stuff. We think if I just had a bigger stereo system, a newer car, a nicer home, if I just had more stuff, that would give me peace. Then I would be happy. I believe that this search for peace through stuff, through materialism, is one of the leading causes of consumer debt in America. Another area we look for peace is through activity. We think if I can just stay busy enough, if I keep my calendar full enough, if I just keep the activity rolling, then I won't have to think about the problems that are going on in my life. And I cram my life with activity so I don't have to deal with this stuff, and not realizing that I'm not at peace in the first place. Do you do that? I think many people are workaholics today because they have deep down issues of unrest and anxiety that they're not dealing with, and they try to block off through work, through what they're doing. Sometimes we can look through peace through some kind of drug. People are trying to escape the stress of life, and so they resort to cocaine or heroin, some other kind of drug. Some people might go to alcohol, or they might go to gambling, some kind of an addiction. How many people do you know, they live for the weekend? You go to work with them, and they're living for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I mean, and that's their life. Their hope is to party on down on Friday and Saturday and recover on Sunday so they can get up and do it all over again. We live in a society that is looking for peace like we can't believe. A fourth area that we sometimes look for peace is through relationships. We think another person will make us happy. If I find that right guy, that right girl, they'll just make me happy and fulfill me. Or if my spouse would just change. Rebecca, if you would just not make burnt toast, then my life would be perfect. You know, here's the thing. No one can make us happy. No one can give us peace. And if you and I are looking for peace in a relationship, looking for peace through what we have, accumulating stuff, looking for peace through activity, trying to block it all out, or resorting to some kind of drug, we will not have it, because here's the key. Jesus Christ is the source of peace. The Bible says He's the Prince of Peace. What did the angels say to the shepherds that starry night in Jerusalem? They said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, Christ the Lord." They talked about peace and goodwill on earth to men. Peace was on earth because Christ came to earth, and Christ is the source of peace. Take a look in John chapter 14, because Jesus declares that to us very clearly. Picking it up in verse 25, John 14, He says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Friends, I don't know about you, but what an incredible offer Jesus gives us. He says, "I want to give you My peace." Not the peace from a bottle, not the peace from a bank account, not the peace from a relationship, not the peace from a bunch of activity, but the peace of God that surpasses understanding. It will guard your heart and your mind. It'll protect you. And this peace you and I can find this Christmas season. We've been talking about the past few weeks enlarging our heart, and really, and this is in your notes, a peaceful heart is a pure heart, passionate heart, and a patient heart, all wrapped up together. This idea of a peaceful heart really wraps up our entire series, because here's the thing. If you have a pure heart, then you're at peace with God because your sin is taken care of and you're in right relationship with Him, so you have peace with God. If you have a passionate heart that's going after God, after the kingdom, after His course for your life, then you're at peace with yourself because you know where you're going. And if you have a patient heart where you're patient with other people, then you are at peace with others. So I could just say, if you want a peaceful heart, just go back, listen to the last 3 weeks on the podcast, and put that into practice. We're going to go home early, enjoy the football game. Okay, I didn't hear any amens, so I'm going to keep going then. Is that all right? Amen. All right, I got a few amens on that. That's good. I want to share with you 5 steps that will help us, and I want you to apply the pure, passionate, and patient hearts, and you'll see how some of those kind of come into play, but I want to give you 5 specific steps so you and I can really grab a hold of peace. Maybe you've had a tough year. How many of you would say, 2012, I would not like to go back and relive it. Some of you say that. Some of you say, hey, 2012 was pretty good to me. I want those who've had a rough year to say, I can have peace so I can tackle the new year. There might be some of you saying, I don't know what 2013 looks about. I'm a little nervous about it. Friends, we can have peace today. These 5 steps will help us achieve peace in our lives, and they form an acrostic of peace. So if you're ready, you're taking notes this morning, the letter P stands for priority. The P in peace stands for priority. Peace comes when my priorities are in order. When my priorities are out of whack, my life is out of whack. I will not have peace. Proper priorities produce peace. I've noticed that when I get away from my priorities, then I have a lot of anxiety and worry and tension in my life. Proper priorities are crucial. Now, the number one priority in our life is relationship with God. If you are not in a passionate relationship with God, you're going to be frustrated. And that's where the passionate heart comes in. We talked about passionately pursuing God in prayer, passionately pursuing God's plan through the Word. As we are passionate and we make God the number one focus of our life, we will have peace. Another important priority is family. If you're married, then your spouse needs to be number one right after God. Your marriage, you need to invest time in your marriage. And you know what? I know how the Christmas season gets. It can get busy, and you spend all this time shopping and wrapping presents, not musically, okay? You don't want to hear me rap, all right? We're not going to go there. But shopping and wrapping and being with family and eating and then returning things and then eating some more and going places and getting your Christmas cards out and eating some more. How many of you ate too much at Christmas? Yeah, some of us did. And so we can get away from our priorities. Christmas is probably one of the worst times because we stay up late and we sleep in and we're so busy with activity that we're not taking time with God and we're not taking time for our spouse and our kids. And I want to challenge you, if you're married, set a date night, a regular date night for 2013. It is one of the best things that you can do for your marriage. That was a great place for an amen. I thought at least some of the ladies would say that. You guys really, you know what, we're going to do a series on marriage here because, boy, you guys got to get some fire and some gusto. Make your marriage a priority. Make your kids a priority. You've got a few days here over the new year. Make sure you're reconnecting. And establish those routines in your life. When you put God and family at the right priorities, it will help. It will help you have peace in your life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day, its own trouble." God said, if you put me first, you don't have to worry. God said, if I am your number one priority, you will have peace. In other words, if I'm not first place in your life, then you had better worry, because you will not have peace. God must be our number one priority. If you put God first place in your relationship, then God will give you peace in your relationships. If you put God first place in your finances, you'll have peace in your finances. You put God first place in your marriage, you'll have peace in your marriage. If you put God first place in your career, you'll have peace in your career. Wherever you put God as a priority and he's first place, we will have peace. So the first thing is to have God as our priority. That's the first step to having peace. The second step, the letter E, stands for exchange. We need to exchange our problems for God's peace. We need to exchange our problems for God's peace. How many of you have been to the exchange line after Christmas, taken some things back? Don't you love those nice long lines? That works on your heart of patience that Pastor Todd talked about last week. But you know, these exchange lines, why do people take things back? It didn't fit. It was too big or too small. Or maybe it wasn't the right color. Or maybe, if it's a piece of technology, it didn't have enough memory or a big enough hard drive on it. Or maybe it was too complex. So we take it back, because we want something more simple. You got to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. People are exchanging things this time of year. Sometimes the exchanges always aren't so good. I remember one time, it was last year, I bought something for my wife at a department store. And because I'd spent enough money, I got $10 off. So I gave it to her, and she went and bought something. And when she went, as we gave the gift, we had to take the gift back, and as we took it back, because we didn't spend enough money, when you take the gift back, you lose that $10 discount, they took $10 off of what we had bought. Even though we bought something else, we lost that deal. So the exchange kind of left a bitter taste in our mouth. We had to pay more than what we did the first time. Friends, God has an exchange for us, but his exchange does not leave a bitter taste in its mouth. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus invites us to exchange our problems for his peace. If you have your Bible and a pen, I want you to circle the words, "Come to me." Come to me. That's the exchange. You see, this just doesn't happen. You and I have to come to Jesus and bring our problems to him and lay them at his feet. He just doesn't take them from us. You have to give them to him. And so many of us hold on to our problems. We don't exchange them. Or we give them to God, we take them right back again. And he says, hey, just give them to me. Trust me that I will work everything out in your life. I will give you peace. I will give you rest. Now, exchanging your problem does not necessarily mean God takes your problem away. There may be some of you, you're having financial difficulty. You've dug a hole for yourself because you've been overspending for several months, maybe several years. You're in a financial crisis. And we think, well, if I give my problem to God, boom, God's going to give me $100,000 and pay off my debt and I'm fine. I wish that were the case. God doesn't necessarily take our problem away, but God gives us the power and the hope to cope with our problem. God wants you and I to trust him that his power and his presence will be enough to carry you through whatever you go through. You can trust him. He is safe. He is secure. So many times, we think peace is the absence of conflict, the absence of difficulty. And that's not what it is at all. Peace is the presence of God, knowing that no matter what you and I encounter, he's there. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you sometimes. 75%. 90%. 99.9999999%. Always, he is with you always. Look at your neighbor and say, God's always with you. Exchange your problems for his peace because God is with you. He will help you. Take his peace. I love what the message says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Exchange your problems for his peace. Make God your priority. Exchange your problems. The letter A, let's take a look at the letter A to have peace this Christmas season and all year round is accept your limitations. Accept your limitations. If we're going to develop a peaceful heart, we need to accept that we can't handle everything in life. How many realize that? You can't be in charge. We have to accept our limitations. And 1 Samuel 13 and 17 are some great examples of two people, one who did not accept his limitations and one who did. In 1 Samuel 13, King Saul is waiting for Samuel to come and make a sacrifice so he can go to war against the Philistines. And what took place is that Samuel waits an entire week. He doesn't come. And Saul's army begins to leave him, and Saul begins to worry, saying, there's no way I can fight the Philistines with a small army. I'm losing people. He did not accept the fact that God can do whatever he wants, whether by many or by few, and he didn't accept his limitations. And so Saul took matters in his own hand. He makes the sacrifice, and as a result of disobeying God, he loses the kingdom. It took several years, but Saul lost God's favor because he didn't accept his limitations. David, on the other hand, in 1 Samuel 17, he's a young boy. He's going to fight Goliath, who was like 9 feet tall, and he's maybe 14, 15-year-old boy. He accepts his limitations and realizes, this is all I have, but God is going to make up the difference for me. David accepted his limitations. He not only defeated Goliath, but he was, that set him up as a victor, as a hero in the nation of Israel, and set him on his way to becoming king and achieving the destiny God had for him. We need to accept our limitations. And there are so many times I hear people say, oh man, I'm not like so-and-so. I can't sing like Darlene Check of Hillsong Worship. I can't speak like Billy Graham or Luis Palau. You know, I wish I had the smarts of so-and-so. I wish I was as had the looks of so-and-so. I wish I had the bank account of someone. And we're comparing ourselves to other people, looking at what they do, and we think we can't do anything. And here's the thing. God does not want you to compare yourself to anyone. God has a great destiny and a great plan in store for us for the year 2013, and we need to accept that I may not be the most talented, I may not be the most wealthy, I may not be the most well-connected, but if I rely upon God to do what he wants me to do, I can rest in the fact that I'm smack dab in the middle of his will, and he'll help me accomplish that. Accept your limitations. Don't wish you were someone else. Because if God wanted you to be like them, he would have made you like them. Ashley Bright, you are a unique, awesome creation of God. Caden Bright, Bob McCoy, Anita McCoy, Angie Murphy, Trevor Morgan, every single one of you in this building are a unique, awesome creation of God. God has a destiny for you, and He wants you to seek Him, to realize you can't do it all, to put your trust in Him and be at peace and let the Holy Spirit move through you in the upcoming year. Accept your limitations, and you will have peace. All right, let's look at the letter C. The letter C, so far we've seen that we can have peace if we prioritize, if we exchange, if we accept our limitations. The letter C stands for confession. It stands for confession. This one ties into the pure heart that we learned about the first week of our series. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." If you and I try to cover over our sin, we will not prosper, will not be successful. When we confess them, when we get them out on the table, David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me." David was saying, "Lord, I want you to pinpoint individual sins, individual things that I need to bring to the cross and to get right with you." How many know the difference between retail and wholesale? What's retail? You buy everything in bulk. A retailer buys it all at one time and he gets a discount on it. What's wholesale? Oh, excuse me. No, I'm sorry. I screwed that up. That's wholesale. I need to go back to economics 101. Yeah, my mind's a little there from Christmas to budgeting, all that. Boy, yeah. That's wholesale. What's retail? They up the price. They sell it individually, one by one. Wholesales, you buy it lock, stock, and barrel. And here's the thing. When you and I do not know Jesus as our Savior, when we come to Christ, we confess our sin. And it's kind of like wholesale. "God, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all the things that I've done wrong." That's wholesale. But after we are saved, we need to still confess, and we now confess retail specifically. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." So Jesus was saying, "I want you to pray every day and rely on me." How many realize that? That's what He was teaching. And right after He says, "Give us this day our daily bread," what does He say? "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." The whole aspect of forgiveness and confession, of searching my life, is to be a daily thing. And I need to examine my life to see, "Lord, how have I fallen short today? What have I done wrong? Where do you want me to confess and to line up right with you?" I need an alignment, a spiritual alignment in my life every single day. God doesn't want us to go for several days or weeks without looking at ourselves, because the pure in heart will see God. And confession is vital to this. It says in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Friends, there is nothing that you and I have done that God cannot cleanse us from. There are some of us here today that have never surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. We've never acquired the pure heart. Some of us have relied upon our own good deeds. We talked about, when we talked about the pure heart, dirt does not clean dirt. A dirty rag does not clean a dirty mirror. It smears it and makes it worse. Our efforts at being good will not cleanse us. It's only the sacrifice of Jesus. The reason Jesus left the perfection of heaven and came to earth as a baby in a manger was so that He could live a perfect life and then die on the cross for you and I. If you don't have peace in your life, maybe the greatest reason is because you haven't let the Prince of Peace be in control of your life. If Jesus is not controlling your life, if you're calling your own shots, you will not have peace. And Jesus just doesn't want to give you temporary peace from the problems of earth, but he wants to give you eternal peace, because someday all of us are going to die. And if we are not in right relationship with God, we'll spend an eternity in hell. God's greatest desire is for you to have lasting, eternal peace with him, that you're in right relationship with him. There are some of us who are here today that we're believers. We've went after Christ, but we're not in where we should be. We maybe have sin in our life that we've covered up, that we haven't brought to the cross, that we haven't brought to Christ. Only if we confess can we have a clear conscience and have peace with God. You try to do all the others, you try to pray, you try to give God your problems, you try to accept your limits without having a pure heart, you won't have peace. Confession is what gives us prosperity in our life. How many want to be prosperous? I want to be prosperous. Have a clean slate with God. All right, let's take a look at the last thing for you and I to have peace. The last key to having peace is to enjoy God's presence. Enjoy God's presence. You see, so many times when we do pray and we do come to God and we exchange our problems, we're still focused on our problem. And God says, I want you to enjoy me. I want you to worship me. I want you to love me. That's what he wants more than anything, is he wants us to enjoy him. It says in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And then in verse 6 it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You know, there's a difference between having a problem and a little bit of anxiety and being in terror. And God says, if you rest in me, if you enjoy me, even the most horrible, terrible situation you have, it will not be bad to you. You will have peace. I encourage you, pop in a worship CD in your car. Put on the Christian radio in your house. Begin to sing and make melody in your heart. Begin to worship God in tongues. Speak in tongues. Just begin to become a person of worship who enjoys the presence of God. We can get so caught up in the busyness of life that we just kind of crowd God out. And as we walk with God and enjoy his presence on a regular basis, we have joy. We will have joy.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.